Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
G'day everyone, how are you going? I just want to share a few thoughts that... A few thoughts that came out of a conversation I was having with someone during the week. And in the midst of talking about a situation that they were in, I asked them the question, where do you see Jesus in that? Like in that physical space that you're in, where do you see Jesus? And it's probably a little bit of an unfair question in that we're asking maybe someone to put a natural framework on a supernatural being. And I've been talking to my kids a little bit about what do you think Jesus looks like, which is hilarious. Harry's pretty sure he wears a cap. Ryan thinks he looks like me, which is, you know, understandable. He's young. He still thinks I'm the strongest. But I think it's an interesting question to ask is like, where do you see Jesus for you? Because clearly God is everywhere. Like he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And I love the fact that Jesus is everywhere 100% all of the time. It's not like he needs to spread himself out to be everywhere. He's completely 100% engaged with you all the time as he is with everyone else. Like, I love the fact that he's just here. I have enough trouble focusing on one thing, as you can probably imagine. And so sometimes I find I've got the three kids there and I'm trying to entertain and corral the cats and we're trying to just make that work. And the kids are all looking for all of my attention at the same time. And so I'm not great at that. So we just share ourselves out a little bit. But every now and again, I get a window with just one of them. And so I was building Lego with Harry the other day. And we're sitting up at the bench. It was just him and I don't even know where everyone else was. They were out somewhere. And it was just him and I in the house. And it was nice and quiet. And I think, oh, this is good. Bit of father-son time. And so we're building the Lego. And then I remembered I hadn't organised something that I was meant to organise. So as I was building the Lego, I was just shooting off a sneaky text to get that thing done. And Harry stopped building the Lego and he said, Dad, can you just put your phone down and just be here? Disappointingly insightful and very hurtful is how I'm going to sum up how I felt. But it really made me realise that like he's looking just for all of me right there. And I love the fact that God can give us 100% of him all of the time. Like, it's a really cool concept for me. It doesn't, like, it's that idea that God is completely limitless. That he can't be put into a natural framework because he is this supernatural being. I think if we want to explore things that really make my head hurt, that kind of follow along that line, the scripture out of Revelation 4:8 that says, day after day and night after night, they keep saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, the one who always is, and the one who still is to come. I mean, how's that concept that he, even before the beginning of time, he was there, that he's here right now, and at the end of time, he will still be there is something that, I mean, we could spend hours debating, but the reality is, time is a concept that we have, and God clearly helped us with that concept because he made day and night and he made, you know, seasons, and he set the sun up and then spun all the other planets around it, and that seems to be working pretty well. He's done a pretty good job with that one. And so clearly he's given us some framework to help us understand time, but time in itself is not really how God operates. We operate via time, like we're looking at the clock and we're doing things by days and we know what's going on next week and we think there's certain time frames that we need to stick to. And sometimes I think we try and put those time frames on God, which doesn't work very well. If we've got our timeline there, like we've got our understanding of time, which is the beginning of time, and then we've got the present, and then we've got the end of time. But God's limitless in relation to time is he was always there. He's here right now and he will always be there. So where that fits for me is I can't really understand the he's always been there, and I got no idea what the he always will thing looks like. But the bit that connects to me right now is the one who is, which is the present, the right now bit. And that's where I think it's really important for me to be able to identify, where is Jesus right now? Where is God for me right now? Because if we start to explore even that, even if we're just looking at that, like, where is he? Well, if we look through the scriptures, it's fairly descriptive in where he is. The scriptures talk about the fact that in Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. So he will be with you, he will not fail you, he will not forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." So God's ahead of us, which is cool, because he's preparing the way. Isaiah 52:12 says, "But don't go out in haste, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." So he's going ahead of us, which is cool. So 100% of him is ahead of us, and 100% of him is also behind us, which is cool, because he's the rear guard. So he's got my back, which is cool. And then in Jeremiah 20:11, it says, "But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior." So 100% of him is beside me at the same time. So that's good. He's my constant companion. And then Psalm 136 talks about God's outstretched hand and his mighty arm outstretched above me, which is cool. So 100% of God is above me. And then in John 10:27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." So God's holding me in his hand as well. So he's 100% underneath me. So I love this idea that in the here and now, in the he is bit, the present bit, he's there in front of me preparing the way. And he's there behind me as my rear guard. And he's standing right beside me like a great warrior. And his hand of protection is upon me. And his hand is just holding me, just there in the palm of my hand. I mean, we can't understand the idea of eternity properly. We can't get the limitlessness of God, because we have a finite mind and it's an infinite concept. But God, because God kind of operates outside of time and he operates outside of our space of understanding. And that's okay, because he's God. And we're just us. Psalm 93:2 says, "From everlasting to everlasting you are God." 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Our destiny was planned before the beginning of time." The Bible talks about how like a billion years to us is like a second to him. Like, it's a completely different concept. God doesn't fit on the timeline, and that's okay. He doesn't fit in natural space for us, but that's okay. But it's still in our time right here and now. And in our space, it's so important for us to be able to identify, where is God for you? I think so often we try and put like our human filter and our framework around who God is. And I think it really limits our understanding and belief of God. I was praying and about some stuff last year. I had to make some significant decisions around some key things for me and the family. So I was praying and I'd worked out probably the five options that were before me. And I'd done a bit of pros and cons style stuff. And so as I was praying, I was saying, "God, so here are the five things that I need to, you know, I feel like I need to choose from. And here are the, you know," in case he wasn't sure, I pointed out the strengths and the weaknesses of each of those, just in case he hadn't got around to having a look at them. I wanted him to be able to make an informed decision on my behalf. So I know. So I'm praying and I'm saying, "God, can you help me? Like, which one of these am I meant to choose?" And I didn't feel like he was answering me, so I prayed a bit louder in case he was, you know, busy sending a text message or something. And then he was pretty clear and he said, "What makes you think I want to pick one of your choices?" I went, okay, that's a fair point. All right, I'll but that conversation made me realize that sometimes maybe we're praying the wrong prayer. I mean, sometimes it shouldn't be, hey God, which of these two things that I like would you like me to pick? Maybe it should be, hey God, I'm just trusting that you've got this under control and I'm asking for your wisdom and I'm asking for your discernment. Maybe when we're in a space and we're praying, hey God, I really hope you show up today. God's going, I've been here forever already. I'll be here forever. Maybe the prayer should be, hey God, I just pray that you would reveal yourself to us. Make us more aware of you. Make us more aware of what you're trying to say to us. That we can't put a natural framework around a supernatural God. And I think we sometimes make the mistake of trying to contain God, of trying to fit him into a nice little box that works for us, that we think that maybe it's quite neat and orderly. And, well, I just don't think God operates that way. I think at times it's messy and it's a bit chaotic for us. It's not for God, because he's got it all mapped out. It feels chaotic to us, or it feels a little like, oh, crikey, what's going on here style action. But it's not, because God has it all sorted out, because he sees it as a big picture. We see it in little segments. Psalm 147, 5 says, our Lord is great with limitless strength. We will never comprehend what he knows and does. So where do you see Jesus? Where do you see this all-powerful, limitless God? In your physical space right now, where is he? And what would change for you if you had a greater revelation of that? What would change in the way that you related to God if we could grasp this concept better? What would change in the way that we relate to each other? For us, when we go out and we go home and we go into our workplaces and all of that stuff, how would that shift and how would that change if you had a better understanding of the fact that God has already been there, that he's prepared the way, that he's got you back, that he's holding you in his hand, he's standing there right beside you, that he's not restricted by the things that restrict us because he is limitless? What would shift and change? Because the reality is that Jesus is there all the time. God is there all the time. And we don't say that as a condemning thing, like, he's always watching you. Look busy. It's not the Santa thing, like the he knows where you've been sleeping, he knows if you're awake, being bad or good. It's not that. I mean, Jeremiah 23:24 says, who can hide in the secret places? Who thinks that I can't see them, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? I mean, thinking that you can hide things from God or hide from God is like playing hide and seek with a two-year-old who stands in the middle of the room and puts their, you know, and goes, you can't find me, you can't find me. The disappointing thing about playing that game is when the child then starts to do it back to you. When you're hiding and they've found you and they wander around you going, where's Dad? And you realise they're just mocking you. But I think for me, the revelation about this isn't about the fact that, like, God is always watching us so we shouldn't sin. I think the natural progression is as we grow in our understanding and we grow in our relationship, we have a desire to do more things that please God. So hopefully, naturally, we move away from our sinful nature and we become more Christ-like. And we're not doing it because we want to avoid punishment or we're doing it because we want to do things that please the person that we love. So it's a heart motivation thing. But this idea of having a better understanding and a better revelation of the fact that Jesus is standing right beside us isn't about the fact that I better do the right thing because God's right there. It's about God is right there. He's just right there. And he has such great love for me. Because there is genuine joy and freedom and power as we expand our heart revelation to the fact that Jesus stands right beside you at all times, 100% engaged in you. the simplicity and the complexity of that, the magnitude of God, the fact that he's with us wherever we go, that he has this great burning desire to be engaged with you at all times. I've been thinking about the scripture out of Genesis 3, and it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." There's lots of theological discussion around how literal we're meant to take that scripture. Like, are we talking about the fact that God came down in a human form and walked through the garden? Are we talking about God came down as a spirit and walked through the garden? Like, we could spend a long time debating that. We could find people who are much smarter than me, who have much more learned opinion, to have this discussion. I mean, the reality is that God uses concepts that we can understand to help us engage with him. So he uses human characteristics and human kind of feelings and stuff to describe how he feels about us so that we can interact with him better. We need a reference point for our understanding of this unbelievable supernatural God. Many people would argue that God did actually come down and literally walk with Adam and Eve through the garden. This idea of a very physical presence of God, the fact that God would physically be standing beside us. I mean, in Exodus 33, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." Now, keeping in mind, there's no Skype. So if we're talking face to face, the other face has to be here. I mean, there's incredible silence in the scriptures. We don't know whether how much of God's full power he revealed to Moses. We don't know what that looked like. But we have this picture of God speaking to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend. And that would suggest to me a closeness of proximity, a level of comfortability of conversation. That's pretty cool. I don't know if you guys have, when we've had Pastor Roy Brake come and speak at church, I don't know if you guys have ever watched, like, when he's prayed for you or you've watched him pray for someone, but he's engaging with God in conversation even as he's praying for you. It's one of the more encouraging and challenging and astounding things that you'll see, that he'll go to pray for you and he'll go, "God," and he'll go, "just," and then he'll stop. And it's like God's standing here having a conversation with him, and all you can see is him having a conversation with God. You can't see the other half of it. So it essentially looks like, right. Okay, all right. Okay, I've got it. And then he prays for you and he's able to communicate what he feels God's saying to you. This, and that's the closest, that's my best picture I've had of that idea of Moses speaking to God like a man would speak to his friend. But this idea that there is some kind of physical proximity to God and us, that it's not just the fact that God is in the heavens, but he is here wanting to engage with you, not just in this space, but he wants to do it outside the four walls of this church. He wants to do it when we get out into everything else that we do, when we go home, when we're speaking to our kids and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with them, and you're having a conversation with your wives and you're at work, and everywhere you go, God is there, as close as I am to Mulyardi or closer. It's accessible to everyone. What would shift and what would change for you if your heart could truly start to grasp that? How would you start to see God differently? How would you start to see other people differently? There's a real challenge in that for me. from the point of view of if I really believe that God is standing right there. In my challenges, is my first point of call just to look here and just to engage with God? When I've got a decision to make, is my first point of call to try and come up with the 10 great Michael Salisbury solutions? Or is it just to go to here and get the one solution I actually need? When I'm talking to someone about some of the challenges they're facing, and I go, in my head, I go, what am I meant to, like, what do I even say to that? Or where do I give them? Well, I can just go here. When the great stuff happens, and you just want to run around with your undies on your head high-fiving, it's just there. The high five is just there. It's just there. 100% engaged to every one of us at all times. He's already gone preparing the way. So it's cool when I go, oh gee, what's going to happen up there? Well, he knows. It's cool. He's already been there. He's there at the moment. That's cool. He's got to figure it out. That I can just speak to him like a man would speak to his friend. That as he walked through the garden, he's there with me now. That's cool. The more we grasp that, the more we experience of who God is, the freer we become. The more it becomes about living out of God's grace and joy and peace, and less out of this and me and who I am. That idea of less of me and more of Him. I just choose to stop and remember He's just here, just wanting to engage, wanting to high five, wanting to give me wisdom, wanting to give me a little hug when I'm a bit flat, a bit down. Wanting to remind me how loved I am. Incredibly powerful. It's great power. Stopping in the midst of everything that's happening around us and just identifying where Jesus is for you, where God is for you. So I'd ask you that question. Where is Jesus for you right now? Just take a moment. Going to get the band to come back up, and we're going to have an opportunity just to.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.